From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Tonight, a very special night of 2012 programming, and next hour it's Andy Lloyd who joins us, Ezekiel 1. Well, a day after warning Washington against launching military exercises on South Korean soil, North Korea is now focusing its rhetoric on its neighbor and warning of a very powerful retaliation if South Korea goes ahead with joint drills next week. The U.S. and South Korean militaries are slated to begin 12 days of exercises at sites across South Korea on Monday. It's a joint annual effort the allies call routine defensive drills, but the North has condemned it as preparations for an attack, and we'll see what happens there. If you're inclined to believe Igor Panarin, then President Barack Obama will order martial law this year. The U.S. will split into six rump states before 2011, and Russia and China will become the backbones of a new world order. Panarin might be easy to ignore, but for the fact that he is a dean at the Foreign Ministry School for Future Diplomats and a very regular guest on Russia's state-guided television programs. The prediction from Panarin, a former spokesperson for Russia's Federal Space Agency and reportedly an ex-KGB analyst, meshes with the negative view of the U.S. that has been flowing from the Kremlin in recent years, in particular from Vladimir Putin. Alex Jones, the award-winning talk show host and documentary filmmaker, on the line with us now. Alex, is this just communist rhetoric? What is this?
Well, Igor Panarin, you know, has his angle because Russia is probably going to collapse before the United States does. Most analysts, even in Russia, agree. But yes, if you read the IMF and World Bank documents, they plan to implode the United States like they've done Iceland and Argentina and now several Eastern European countries, so they can have a fire sale of the stocks and bonds and real estate and raw assets, infrastructure in the United States. You know, the news continually gives Igor Panarin all of this attention when he says these things. But when you look at the Army War College just in December of last year, they said there's a danger of the United States collapsing into disorder and that martial law may need to be declared. We also have the British Ministry of Defense 10-year report put out in late 2007, now about a year and a half ago, saying that they believe that most nations are on the verge of collapse because of what the banks have done. And so we've seen all this preparation by the military and NORTHCOM for martial law and to try to suppress the movement that their supercomputers predicted that's now happened of a state's revolt against the federal government that's been taken over by foreign corporations. So this Russian is somewhat accurate in what he's saying, but to limit it just to the United States is a fraud. We just had Gordon Brown today address the Congress calling for a, quote, new world order, calling for a new global currency. So the bankers have engineered the crisis that you and others have covered it in great detail, and then they're offering their solution, as Newsweek and Time did in the last month, a new bank of the world that we will pay our carbon taxes and other taxes directly to. So the Russians are trying to make this, and he's definitely a Kremlin spokesman. This is their, you know, their
sure,
their angle, like it's just the United States, when in truth it is the whole world on the verge of collapse due to the fractional reserve banking system of the globalists. And the globalists are still in control of Russia as well, and the globalists do plan. They've said, now it remains to be seen if this is what they're really planning to do. They're very, very deceptive, to make Russia and China the new center of their world government and to basically turn the United States into something that resembles Mexico or Venezuela.
See, when I saw this, Alex, I definitely thought it was a globalist agenda, no doubt about that. Alex Jones, we're going to be getting Alex on in a future date on another story that we'll tell you about very soon in the next day or two. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Do yourself a favor and go up to those websites every day and look at some of the things Alex is doing. Alex, thanks so much. More than 8.3 million U.S. mortgage holders owed more on their loans in the fourth quarter than their property was worth as the recession cut home values by $2.4 trillion last year. An additional 2.2 million borrowers will be underwater if home prices decline another 5%, according to First American, a Santa Ana, California-based seller of mortgage and economic data. Households with negative equity or near it account for a quarter now of all mortgage holders. President Barack Obama's proposal to limit itemized tax deductions for high earners is running into opposition from key Democrats in Congress who worry that charities in the housing market would be hurt. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus questioned whether the proposal was viable a day after his House counterpart also expressed reservations. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said tax increases on families making more than $250,000 a year are necessary to make a down payment on health care reform and to limit future budget deficits. But he said he was willing to work with lawmakers on proposals they objected to. Ms. Shedlock, of course, registered investment advisor, representative for Sitka Capital Management, and his blog, of course, is Global Economic Analysis at blogspot.com. You can find that just by Googling Mish, M-I-S-H. But it still seems like they really don't know what they're doing out there.
Of course they don't know what they're doing. Look at this. And you know why they don't know what they're doing? Just look at this proposal. There's objections to it, you know, from the left and from the right on various things. Some of the Democrats are upset that if they phase out some of these deductions, that charities are going to get hit. You know what the problem is here? I just looked it up right before I came on the show here tonight. The tax code is 67,000 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know,
No wonder nobody reads it.
And no wonder nobody reads it. And no wonder they can't, you know, get anything done. The only, yet the odd thing is, George, there's some lobbyist somewhere that knows what every provision is in there for. And when they say they're, you know, going to raise taxes on this or cut taxes on that, I don't even think that they know that that's what it's going to do. Because there's so many loopholes, so many things in there. Warren Buffett said at one point last year, he said that his secretary pays a higher tax rate than he does. So they're talking about, seriously, he said that. So they're talking about, you know, raising the taxes on the wealthy, and it's going to fall on, you know, maybe it'll hit some of these in the, you know, 200 to, you know, 300,000 or, you know, $500,000 tax bracket. It's not going to hit these guys that are making $1 million or $2 million or $10 million. They've got, there's stuff in there where they can avoid all these taxes. If what? Warren Buffett's paying a lower tax rate than his secretary, then you know, something's wrong.
Well, as we said, Mitch, we should just let the marketplace take care of it itself. Eventually, it would work itself out. I'm pretty sure it would. Again, you want Mish's information, just Google his name, M-I-S-H. Thanks, Mish. Yeah, as the Coast Guard ended its search for three missing football players whose boat tipped over in the high Florida seas, the lone survivor said that two of those lost gave up after hours in the frigid water, and the third tried to swim to safety. Always stay with a boat. That's what they say. South Florida player Nick Schuyler told investigators that all four of the friends on a fishing excursion were initially wearing life vests and clinging to the 21-foot boat. But 2 to 4 hours after the boat capsized, one of the NFL players removed his life jacket and simply let himself be swept out to sea. A few hours later, the other one followed suit. Comedy legend Robin Williams has canceled his 4 stand-up shows in Florida amid fears for his health. A statement on the actor's website said that Williams was experiencing shortness of breath and is currently being evaluated by doctors who are recommending a week of rest. The 4 performances of Williams' Weapons of Self-Destruction tour are going to be rescheduled. Williams is renowned worldwide, of course, for his madcap style of stand-up comedy, which is also characterized for his very long and successful movie career. He's 57. And they say he could have heart issues. Former First Lady Barbara Bush had successful open-heart surgery. She had some hardening of an artery. They say she's up and doing well. Longtime Philadelphia radio announcer Frank Ford has died at the age of 92. A Connecticut woman mauled by a chimpanzee 2 weeks ago apparently lost her hands, nose, lips, and eyelids, and may be blind and suffering brain damage. And hospital officials say it's still unclear if her condition can improve at all. She's still in critical condition. A man who lost his eyesight 30 years ago can now see flashes of light after being fitted with a bionic eye. The 73-year-old had experimental surgery. It uses a camera and video processor mounted on sunglasses to send captured images wirelessly to a tiny receiver on the outside of the eye. In turn, the receiver passes on data via a tiny cable to an array of electrodes which sit on the retina. It's an amazing story. Scientists say the smell of rotten eggs is arousing for men. I don't know about this study. And could be used to create an alternative to Viagra. They say nerve cells release minute amounts of hydrogen sulfide, the gas which gives rotten eggs that distinctive smell. A collision between U.S. and Russian satellites in early February may have been a test of new U.S. technology to intercept and destroy satellites rather than an accident, according to a Russian military expert. Space Shuttle Discovery may launch on March 11th, but they won't decide that until a NASA meeting on Friday. Friday's launch, of course, for the new Kepler Space Telescope. Hopefully that goes into orbit. It could change the way we look at the universe, looking for Earth-sized planets. And ancient water may lie hidden within the largest volcano on Mars, which some experts are saying that could be a harbor of life. Richard C. Hoagland on the line with us now. Richard, lots going on in the world of science.
There certainly is. George, do you have your chalkboard ready?
I do, sir. Fire
you were
away.
Gonna, you were, well, you were going to be marking down how many times I'm right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said weeks ago that this satellite collision was not an accident.
The day it happened, that's what you said on this program.
So we have General Leonid Chernev, who's the former head of Russian military space intelligence, telling the Russian news agency Novosti yesterday that it looks like, in his view, that it was a satellite destruction test by the U.S. military. Now, you got to put this in context. This is a guy who is looking at it military to military. He may not be in the picture in terms of third forces with technology that have agendas. The fact that it was Iridium 33, the fact that the entire Iridium network is in essence the 2012 disaster network, which we discussed a couple weeks ago, the fact that this was not an accident, now as the Russians are saying, it means that they're kind of groping around for an explanation. The practical implication of this, of course, is for the next potential launch of the U.S. space shuttle. As you just reported, NASA punted again today. They had a meeting where they basically decided to have another meeting Friday to decide whether or not to launch the space shuttle Discovery on the mission to place the final solar wings on the International Space Station. What's interesting is they have tentatively moved the launch window up by 24 hours to launch it on the 11th as opposed to the 12th. That means in the model that they've really been using this as an excuse, the valve and all that, which, by the way, I need to make one correction. When I was on the air the last time, I said the valves were located in the ET, in the tank, which, of course, is not true. They're located in the aft compartment of the shuttle between the tail and the engine. I just want to make that technical point. The fact is that that's probably well in hand, that valve problem. But it's given them the time to look at the radar of the pieces from the destroyed satellites. And then the telltale here that they're probably going to go ahead is they move the launch up 24 hours, which means they think they may have a window between the debris, and that's when they will launch. So, and the final thing is, of course, Friday is the launch date of Kepler. This is
good news.
Oh, this is amazing news. This is going to be the telescope that lets us finally know how many, to quote Star Trek, M-type planets exist within 3,000 light years of us in the galaxy. This telescope over the next 3.5 years, which, by the way, takes us right up to 2012, is going to finally tell us how many Earths there could be orbiting stars within about 3,000 light years, and we'll have the information by 2012, which brings me to an announcement.
Go for it.
I have been invited last minute to address a major 2012 conference in D.C. The date, the time, the appearance, who else is going to be on the venue is all being worked out right now. But it is being called to discuss the Obama administration and the things it is doing vis-a-vis 2012 that no one yet knows about. So stay tuned for specifics when I can put them on the table.
You got that right. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com. Okay, that's Britney Spears, performed in New Orleans as she kicked off her first concert tour for 5 years. She's back. The 27-year-old dressed as a ringmaster in the show, which featured jugglers, acrobats, and martial arts dancers. She performed songs from her latest album, Circus, as well as some of her other biggest hits. The singer will perform in 31 cities across North America, so she's on her comeback. And Michael Jackson announces tomorrow in London that he's coming back as well. Go up to coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at the hot story about a cat named Ugly. Just take a picture. It's not really ugly. It's just different. And some people claim that the Mayan calendar signals the end of time in December 2012. Others say it's all enlightenment. Up next, William Henry and Sriram Kaur join us as we talk about 2012 for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Two fantastic guests for you now this hour, William Henry, Sriram Kaur. William, of course, investigative mythologist, author of numerous books and presentations about Stargate 2012, Revelation 2012 as well. Sriram Kaur is a wisdom teacher, ordained minister, who shows a lot of us what we can do as we approach 2012. And here is William and Sriram Kaur. William, how are you, my friend?
Wonderful, George. Nice to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. And Sriram Kaur, hello there.
Hi, glad to be with you.
There is incredible, incredible interest, Sriram Kaur, in 2012. I have never seen anything as so heated lately in all my life. What's going on?
Well, isn't it wonderful that people are getting stimulated? And I'm going to say this a little tongue-in-cheek. All the chaos out there, all the change out there is awakening something deep within us all. And 2012 is certainly a fulcrum point, a magic tipping point, you might say, that is either the greatest opportunity for us or could be some folks' worst nightmare.
That's absolutely true. And William Henry, you generally take a positive approach to 2012. How come?
Absolutely. I mean, you just take a look around. We're in the midst of enormous changes everywhere. And what we need is a vision of where these changes are going to wind up. I view us all as sort of like that cocoon that's ready to transform into a butterfly. And what we need is a sense or a vision of what's the butterfly going to look like. And that's what my work is devoted to right now.
Why do some people, William, think that this is the end of it? This is doom and gloom. It's all over. That's changing. I mean, people like Sriram Kaur are giving us a more positive approach, and you too. But there's still, a handful of people out there that think it's all over for us. How come?
Well, 2012, in a sense, is the great metamorphosis, as I call it, but it's also the great cosmic mirror, because you're gonna see yourself in that mirror. And so, if you're looking out at 2012 and you've got doom and gloom on the horizon, chances are you looked out at 2000. And the flipping of the millennium with the same sense of doom and gloom. So it's all about yourself and what you're putting into it, because that is exactly what you're going to get out of it.
Sriram Kaur, I keep thinking about the Mayans back a long time ago as they were going through this and developing this calendar, this event. How did they know? How did they create the prophecy?
You know, it's a wonderful thing. We go to Guatemala, we climb into the jungles and sit with these elders that normally do not go out in public. They're working in their own villages. And I ask them about 2012, what's going on? And they laugh and they say, it's you white people that are making up stories of doom and gloom. You know, we're glad the calendar's ending because it means the return of light. And when we think about that image, the return of light, what we're really seeing is we're going to move out of this left brain, masculine, linear way of approaching the world into a more organic, you might call it a more right brain or feminine way of being that gives us access to all our potential, to all the coding in our DNA. So it's truly a marvelous transformation that is upon us.
Well, and I've got to tell you, when we just look at these world events, everything that seems to be going on right now, leading into 2012, it is absolutely riveting to pick up on these things that are happening to us and hoping against hope that, we're going to be okay. And I think somewhere along the line, the Mayans probably knew that after an adjustment, Sri Ramka, we're going to be okay, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think each and every one of us, if we just pause for a moment, bring your hand to your heart and take a deep breath, and if you just ask yourself or say out loud, I am an immortal being, and you'll get this yes from the universe. You are an immortal being. And if we anchor in that essential energy, we can handle anything that the outer world can bring up.
We'll be back with both William Henry, Sri Ramka, as we talk about 2012, and we'll open up the phone lines as well next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Andy Lloyd joins us for a full program, Ezekiel 1. As he works and ties a lot of the incredible things that are happening, will happen into 2012. William Henry's website, by the way, is williamhenry.net. Sri Ramka's website is 2012quantumleap.com. We'll tell you about that quantum leap in a moment tonight as well. Back with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with William Henry, Sri Ramka, as we talk about 2012 and your phone calls. Sri, I've always wondered if the Mayans had some kind of extraterrestrial help or guidance. What do you think?
Oh, I think most definitely. You know, that whole area in Central America is filled with wisdom and knowing about the universe that predates any of our scientific explorations of the universe. And there are those that say that the Maya were the direct legacy of the ancient Atlanteans, that when Atlantis sunk, that those that survived walked right into Central America and began to transfer their knowledge. You know, regardless of the history, what remains is a country with heart. These people smile, and they have nothing. They walk around with smiles on their faces. And that, to me, is more important than any stone record. They know how to live.
Absolutely. And so many other people should live by the way they do. I think it would help them.
Absolutely.
William, in all the work you've done over the years, and as you now migrate into 2012, give me your interpretation of the Maya prophecy.
It's all about transformation and pointing to this connection that we all have with the heart center of our galaxy. We have lived, at least in Western civilization the past 500 years or so, with a sun-centered view. It used to be an earth-centered view. Now we know that our sun and solar system actually orbit at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. The center of our galaxy is, in fact, connected to hundreds of billions of other galaxies out there in the what we claim to be the known universe at this time. So what 2012 is about is a recognition that we're temporarily visiting this planet, got to make the most of it. We're spiritual beings having this experience, and one day we will return to the great cosmic ocean, and every moment of our lives is a preparation for that return.
Okay, let's go to some calls. East of the Rockies, we have Vicki in St. Louis. You're up. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, George. Have an O.
Remember your voice well, Vicki.
We've been talking for a long time.
I hear Frank Opinion mention me every once in a while in St. Louis.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Good.
William, gosh, I mean, I'm such a big fan of yours. I've got all your books.
Thank you.
I've got all your DVDs almost. And I just have to say, with the work you do, I'm a Libra library, like you say in your video. You're a Libra too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And the mall down in Tennessee, I had to ask you about you said they were going to put a serpent next to the Capitol Mall.
Yes, plans call for them to make a river on this 2,200-foot-long energetic space, the Bicentennial Mall. I call it Stargate Park. And once they do, that's going to complete the facility.
Now, that represents the Kundalini energy.
Yes, it absolutely does. It's very similar to when Moses lifts the serpent of healing or serpent of wisdom in the wilderness. It's the same concept.
William, we've got a whole another realm out there helping us. I tell you, I was in a car accident, George.
Oh, my gosh, Vicki.
In 1995, and the whole significance of it, I was hit by a firebird, which had the big bird painted on it, and I'd actually dreamt this bird came in my window 3 days before, and it was in front of the Bevo Mill, and since that time, I've had all these things happening, and then I do have a Kundalini awakening experience. I've had extraterrestrial experiences. And it's just really true what you're saying. We are waking up to our real selves, our light selves, and we are going to connect. And we are connecting. I just have to say that I'm such a fan, and I agree with George that you're a genius, and George, I liked your book, too.
All right. Well, Vicki, and thanks for the years of support, too.
One more question.
Sure.
William, are you going to be doing any walks down at the mall this summer? Because I was thinking about coming down this summer.
Well, thank you. Yes. In fact, in April, I have my American Right Tour. I'm starting with a conference in Nashville, April 10 through 12, and then we'll move on to Washington, D.C., explore the temples and memorials in D.C., including the Capitol, and then we'll move to Philadelphia. So that's on my website at williamhenry.net.
Sheree, I've got to give you credit, too, for the enlightenment portion of your entire career and what you've done. Were you always this way? Were you always this enlightened, or did some event change you?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the question. You know, I think all of us are on a path of growth. If we allow ourselves to relax, we become a better version of ourselves each and every month, each and every year. For myself, yes, I did have some epiphanies along the way, and some of these are pretty wild and wondrous stories. But I really think that, you know, as Will is sharing, and as your caller is sharing, we are all evolving. The question is, what are you awake to? Are you going to put your attention on what's falling away, or are you going to relax into a sense of trust and allow yourself to lift to a new perspective? And what I have observed is that we can rearrange pieces on the game board of life, and we end up with the same energy, or we can lift into a more joyful approach and let our point of view expand, and we bring online new wisdom, wisdom that's in our DNA. And that's what we need to be holding as we approach 2012, is we're all getting stimulated. It's like there's more sunshine out there. We're all responding.
Maybe more sunshine than we need.
Well, in one way of looking at it, you're right.
Let's go to Concord, California, west of the Rockies. Richard, take it away. Hi, Richard.
Hey, George. Great show as usual.
Thanks,
and I got to say, as a former drummer, that Asia bumper music is great stuff.
Yeah.
For your guest, my question is, what about what Edgar Cayce's prediction was for 2012? He was talking about like an asteroid hitting the planet. Can you give me some feedback on that, please?
William, I don't know if Edgar was specific in a date on that. Would you know?
No, I have not. I don't know of a specific date that Edgar Cayce gave, at least relative to 2012, about an asteroid.
Yeah, I don't either. How about you, Sheree?
I'm not as familiar with Cayce's work. I can offer that we expect a near miss. You might call it the Planet X theory, that there are indeed potential collisions ahead, and the issue is not to prepare for them in the material sense. The issue is to prepare for our consciousness such that we increase the vibrational field around the Earth. Now, this is getting a little esoteric, George. I don't want to get too woo-woo here.
Okay.
However, we all are aware of the law of attraction. We know that when we hold certain images in our mind, that we begin to attract that into our lives. Well, what happens to the planet as a collective? What are we attracting as humanity? And this is why I'm so passionate about 2012. It's time for all of us to stand up and say, here's what I want, not what I'm reacting to.
And I do know the book of Revelation talks about wormwood, which is some object that is coming by, but I just don't recall Edgar Cayce saying anything about an object. I know he talks about earth changes and floods and everything else, but not. So I'm going to go back and check that. Let's go to you, Kevin, in Pomona, California, first-time caller. Kevin, thanks for calling.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, I have a question. Do the Mayan calendars, when they talk about serpent in the sky, it has a relation to the Chinese zodiac, the year 2012 is the year of the dragon?
William, I'm going to give this to you.
Well, the serpent or the serpent rope is one of the key images of the Maya 2012 symbolism, in which they talk about this galactic alignment as a sacred tree or as a cosmic cross. And then they describe this serpent rope emanating from the center of the galaxy. So when you start to put these symbols together, which I believe are the key images of 2012, you have the sacred tree, the tree of life, the cross, and then you have this serpent hanging from this. And my good friend and colleague, John Major Jenkins, made the original intuitive leap where he said that you can take the archaic Mayan term serpent rope and insert the modern word stargate or wormhole, and we may have an accurate interpretation of what the Maya are trying to tell us about this serpent rope in this galactic alignment. It's a time when a stargate from the center of the galaxy will open.
William, do you find that the world, this entire planet, is geared into 2012 now?
It's getting there, George. I mean, people are everywhere looking for the next sort of point of emergence, the next great white light that will inspire us and will bring everybody together. I mean, and that, for many people, is what 2012 actually represents. It's that focus point.
And, Sri, you've always said that 2012 is wisdom, prophecy. It's a convergence. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that we're moving beyond our external basis of science into what the Sufis call is ilm. And ilm is revealed wisdom. This is the wisdom that is latent within us. You know, like the serpent in the sky, I tend to agree what we're looking at is, I would term it as an ascension portal, meaning an energetic gateway. Now, the question is, can you see it? Will you be prepared to take advantage of the opportunity, or are you going to be too busy trying to keep your life together in the old sense? And this is what's upon us, is we must trust our inner wisdom to create a new outer activity.
London, Ontario, in Canada. Ryan, you're up.
Hello there.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi. Sri just actually said something that I was going to talk about when I was... I'm going to refer to first was like the ancient Greeks and the Chinese. They didn't believe that gods created illnesses or magic cured them. There's a certain human responsibility in our well-being that we're in control of. At the same time, I'm not saying that we're not profoundly connected to the universe and in so many ways. And I'm not saying that positive thinking isn't important. It is. But I think it's important to emphasize that many people can become skewed or misinformed or expecting change from the outside. And that's what Sri just was mentioning about ilm, which is pretty much what I'm getting at. We expect, the majority expects governments to do things for us. So policy is the new magic kind of thing. Prophecies are more effective when looked at as metaphors from towards the inner path rather than any outward endeavors. And like I said, Sri just mentioned that in probably a sentence or two very succinctly. I was just wondering if that's what you emphasize more, is that inward path rather than the outward path, which is the predominant in our society, every society from each part of the world.
Okay, Sri, go ahead.
Well, you know, I want to tie this back to the wisdom prophecy convergence. The purpose of a prophecy is to condition consciousness. It's to create an expectation so that what is coming is less of a shock, or to make the future a self-fulfilling prophecy. The purpose of wisdom is to have an introspective paradigm that then births a new reality. It births a new way of being, a new relationship with the world. And so, yes, I think we must recognize that the chaos in the outer world is helping us anchor inwardly. Our trust and our freedom come from inside. The government's not going to do it for us. There's nobody outside that will grant you your power. You must claim it.
And I'm not sure the government would even know what to do. Sri, what do you think?
I think they're lower down on the food chain than each and every one of us.
William Henry, as we look toward 2012, your interpretation after that, what about 2020, 2030? What's going to happen?
Well, of course, the primary word for the post-2012 period is acceleration. I mean, it's like going right just as fast as we can right into this bright white light that is 2012 and beyond it. It's just I see a magnificent opening into colonization, not only of our solar system, but perhaps beyond. I would anticipate by that time that we will have made first contact with an extraterrestrial civilization where it's absolutely known, and we're welcomed into perhaps some sort of a federation of other awakened beings. And that's just the start of it right there.
Next up, Brian in Oregon City, Oregon. You're on Coast to Coast, Brian.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Last time the 2012 was discussed, I remember someone had said something about the sun was going to have some hyperactivity or something.
That was me. That would be me.
Okay.
That would be my prediction.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wondering if the state of the sunspots was still negligible.
Yeah, they sure are. And Sri, I want to get this take from you because I've always, and I like the approach of enlightenment for 2012. And I have gone from thinking that something horrible was going to happen to this enlightenment, but I still think that there could be some kind of science celestial solar event. I think the Mayans were tuned into astronomy, and they probably knew that the sun was going to heat up or something, not wipe us out by any means, but that there was going to be some kind of solar event. Would you think that's possible?
I think it's probable. I think that we need to recognize that the wise ones, the wisdom keepers of any civilization, had a perspective that was more transcendent than the day-to-day. So if you really step back from the picture and you start looking at cycles of change, then yes, the sun has a cycle, the earth has a cycle, and even in the Hindu tradition, we're moving out of the Kali Yuga into a new age, and the Kali Yuga was darkness. It's dense. It's negative. We're moving into a positive or more illumined age. And this is truly not something of wishful thinking. It's a fact. All of us are receiving more energy and have more capability than we had in the past. And for some of us, it creates anxiety.
Let's go to Bristol, Virginia. Final caller, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you doing
tonight?
Good,
Michael.
Yeah, I'm in the military. I'm home on leave right now.
Well, thank you for serving, by the way, Michael.
Thank you. I heard you was in the Navy there. I've been a long-time listener, started back with Art. But we've been getting a whole bunch of training. So, you know, I think somebody knows that something's up somewhere. You know, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think they're preparing for something to go down somewhere.
I think so, too. And it's probably because of this economic mess and everything else. I think they're preparing themselves for some kind of unrest that may or may not be tied into 2012. But they're getting ready for something. William, do you sense this when you travel abroad?
I do. And, I mean, everywhere you look, it seems like people want to go on lockdown. But, you know, particularly in America, when you talk about when you look to the Founding Fathers, which many people are looking to them right now for guidance, they emerged from the Enlightenment tradition that viewed each one of us and humanity in general as inherently good. And I get a sense that some of those that are in power now don't share that view. And what we have to do is replace them.
Bullish on the future, Sri Ramka?
Absolutely, and that does not mean it's going to be easy. You know, there's this old saying that the moment of darkness to the caterpillar is the same moment of light to the butterfly. And as my friend Will pointed out, we want to be butterflies. We have to accept that as we release the paradigms and models in our head that have created all of this chaos, that we will birth something beautiful. And if we grip what's going on too tightly, we're going to get shook.
William's very busy these days, by the way. He's got a new workout due in April on decoding the spiritual symbolism and cosmic code embedded in the U.S. Capitol. And also, if you want to see his presentation up front and personal on March 13th through the 15th, William will be in the Los Angeles area speaking about 2012. I'm going to come by and see you, William, and spend the day with you. 2012quantumleap.com. We've got a link up there for you at coasttocoastam.com. I take it, William, you're going to wow the crowds again, as you always do.
Thank you. I'm looking very much forward to spending that day with you, George, as well as you, Sri. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Well, you will do it, and the people flock to William Henry's speaking engagement. So, William, I will see you. Sri, I'll see you there, too. I'll come by.
Absolutely. We look forward to it.
2012quantumleap.com for those of you who want to go to that kind of a major event. And, you know, I like the fact that they're talking enlightenment for 2012 and not doom and gloom. If you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Andy Lloyd joins us. Ezekiel 1, you're going to love what he has to say. So stick with us on this Coast to Coast ride.